smaller group,
Yeah.
and we've been meeting for a while. You know, I capped it at 12 because I don't like more than 12. So,
A biblical number.
yeah, it just the small group just then gets weird, and everyone splits up, and now everybody's anyway. So there's people. I have like three new groups already. It's like some that don't have a grid, and I don't. You know, this is helping me with people that don't have a grid, because I'm just like, if you don't know it, go search it out first, and then come. You know, it's I don't have the patience. I haven't had the patience. It's made me kind of slow down, because I'm running down the road, you know, and whoever wants to run with me can run, and all of a sudden I got a. Well, Cindy gave me a word to shift down into second gear, and I'm like, why? You know, it's so.
Well, I had exactly the same thing. When I first had my heavenly encounters, in a vision, I was in a really clear vision. I was on this horse, and I was going up this valley, and it was a rocky valley, and I'm going up on this horse. And along the sides, there's all these things, you know, ugly looking, demonic-y things, and they were just sort of throw. They were sort of in caves, but they weren't allowed out. But they were sort of there, and I was like, okay, this is really weird. And there was a whole load of people who were there with me at the beginning, and they were all had horses or some of them, and it was like, okay, hey, we're going up this valley. And so I just sort of kept on going up this valley. I get to the top, and I'm like looking out over there, all these mountains. In fact, this is the first time I really sort of engaged mountains. I'm looking out over these mountains. I was like, wow. So God said, look behind. So I look behind, no one there. I'm on my own. No one there. So it was like, so he said, go back down and look at where people are. And some people were trying to get on their horse, and some people were three people were on one horse because they didn't have their own horse, and it was just like, oh, right, okay. So it was like, so now take them with you.
Right.
Yes, go
If
ahead.
they want to go.
Yeah, if they want to go. And it's like, now they've gone ahead, you've gone ahead, you've seen what's ahead, now take them with you. So I've learned to be much slower in delivery, releasing revelation at the right sort of pace,
Right.
not giving people like hunks of meat when they need milk, and trying to. And sometimes I get enthusiastic, and I share some stuff, and I see the glazed looks, you know, and it's just like, okay, I'll just back off a little bit, and yeah, we'll take it a bit, you know. But now I've got a whole group of people who are operating this way, you know, that they
Right.
are now mentoring others, and they're on their mountains, and they're operating on the church mountains and all that stuff. And I'm like, okay, yeah, this has taken a lot longer than I would have wanted, but we've got here, and we've got here relationally, and we've had to go through all the issues of how you get here, and you know, and sometimes, yes, I've had to challenge people, look, this is where we're going. If you don't want to go here, you're in the wrong place. You know, go and find somewhere where you won't be, you know, going in a different direction. You know, so it's sometimes been quite difficult, but
Right.
I've sort of, it doesn't mean that in my personal encounters and personal experience, I don't actually engage this stuff. I do. I just don't share it all the time.
Right.
You know, and
Yeah.
some of
No,
that's
yeah.
interesting. I think Elizabeth Gomez from Canada asked me yesterday, oh, what about these 12 chancellor's houses? And I waffled for like 20 minutes trying to explain stuff. I had no reference point to explain properly. You know, and in the end, I thought, oh, I should have just said, I'm working on it. You know.
Or I don't know.
Yeah, well, I know, I just can't describe it, you know.
Oh,
I've been there,
okay.
and I've seen things, and I've experienced things, but I haven't quite got the grid to be able to put it in terms that people understand. So my spirit gets it, but I can't explain it, and even the things I've seen, and even things I've written down and God said, it's like, okay, these are sort of inexpressible quite at the moment. I've got to find a way of being able to help other people with this in the future, but right now, I was conscious, and she said, that was really weighty, wasn't it? And I said, yeah, it is. I feel really weighty about it, and when I engage in it, it's really weighty, and I come out and go, whoa, what was that? And how do I do that? And, you know, because it's just like a totally different dimension. But I wouldn't start to teach that or even.
Right.
Even here, I've only shared it with our bench of three, really. I've dropped a few little things about Chancellor's houses and things just to say, look, there's some stuff ahead that we're going to learn how to do. But I know people can't take it because they're right there where they are. Just because I'm there doesn't mean that everyone is going to be there with me yet. But I need to make sure that I can bring people to that point, and then hopefully they will be able to then go further and embrace where their destiny intersects with some of those points and find, you know, where their government is and how they express it. But it's, you know, so it's not that it's held me back personally.
No, I get it. Yeah. It's
just I'm not sharing everything.
Yeah.
All at one go.
I've been a forerunner for a long time, so it sometimes it gets old, but whatever. You learn a couple of things along the way, and one of the things I've always held to is don't take your 100-pound truck on their 10-pound bridge.
Yeah,
because it can crush them. So I had a thing that I did. Everyone keeps. I mean, just lately, since I've had several people come up and I see the favor of God on you. I see that you're glowing. What are you doing? That kind of thing. And I'm like, okay, wow, you know, that's great. And but one thing I did do, and I wasn't sure if I should do it or not. I'm in this crazy house church, and it's chaotic. It's beautifully chaotic. There's no agenda. It just kind of flows. Well, they asked me to, because we took communion, and I read out the communion prayer, and everyone was just floored, right? You know, they're all just, whoa, what was that? You know, and so someone had sent me this email on the courts, and so I said, well, I can help you with that, you know. And so it ended up that I ended up sharing at this house church, which 80 people turned up. Hmm. And so I was like, oh God, you know, whoever isn't supposed to hear this shouldn't be here.
Hmm.
You know, I was like, just keep them at home, whatever, you know. And it was beautiful because every single person engaged. Hmm. I mean, they were like, because there's not really a grid for all of this. So, but then the after effect is that I don't have a relationship with everybody. So some people started teaching others when they have no grid for that and started posting stuff and posting some of my thing, you know. And then I got some haters, you know. I got my first haters, you know. Yeah. And so I was like, wow, should I have done that? I mean, do you just – because I've been given like an open – doorway to share whenever I want, whatever I want. So I'm really sober-minded about it.
Well, I think the key is get a mandate for each time. Then you're clear, because then the responsibility for the fallout is God's, not yours.
Okay. I mean, I felt that was the right thing to do, but I guess there's going to be fallout, I guess.
Well, sometimes it will challenge people because they have no grid of reference. And some people will be like, oh, where's that in the Bible? And they'll be the usual, do the old evangelical thing of I need proof this is God and all that stuff. That's fine. If they set them on a journey of discovery, that's great. You know?
Yeah.
Some people, yeah, they will embrace it, but they won't be mature in it. And it's trying to make sure that you give a caveat to it. Look, you can't just do this stuff just because you've done it once. You know, there's a protocol of heaven. Heaven functions according to judicial protocol. Make sure that you're just not going to copy this or try and imitate it. You need to be able to operate in it, and therefore you have to have authority given to you to do it.
And it's not a legalistic thing, right? So
yeah, I mean, you know what I mean. It's like if you're teaching the courts, and then people want to go themselves and take their issues into the court. Wonderful.
Yeah,
that's great. And when they have some testimonies of how that worked for them, and they're then more familiar with how it works, then of course they can share that with others. But don't try and take somebody there on the basis of what you've done. It needs to be on the basis of people's personal experience and testimony of it.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just words.
Right.
Some people may get something out of those words because God is gracious. But it won't be because that authority is being released by that person.
Oh, there's been some great testimonies out of it. It's been amazing. And I actually did give a disclaimer. I started off with a disclaimer saying, I'm not an expert, and if you have any questions, I'm not going to answer them. You'll have to search them out. That's how I started. So I immediately got a question, right, within the first 5 minutes. You know, I was like, no questions. We can't, no questions. You go search it out. You want to find out, you go ask God.
And, you know, you can always point them to you know, stuff. You know, there's Ian Clayton stuff is out there. You know, I've got loads of stuff on the on the YouTube channels and stuff. There's always things for people to engage. You know, it's just what you're looking for is the desire of their heart going to draw them to engage and to follow and to pursue and to then, hey, I need to understand. I want to learn. I want more. You know, and I'm going to seek God for Him to give me revelation of this. And, you know, and in a sense, you know, the whole purpose of me doing this manual thing is to help people from the first steps.
Right.
You know, there is a purpose. You know, God is doing things. He's preparing a generation. There's another generation coming. He's looking for people who will be forerunners or who will be early adopters who will follow forerunners. You know, He's just looking for people. You know, the eyes of the Lord is going to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are going to be drawn to this, you know, and those whose hearts won't be drawn to it, okay, they stay beyond the river, and they operate in the wilderness, you know, and actually a lot of them are going to be on their own over there.
And it is relational. I remember one of the guys at the crazy house church, I don't know. You know, all this stuff is new to these guys, right? So he's standing there. I had them all kind of stand up, and he's, you know, and I was kind of, you know, having them step in because they'd never done that before. And so he came up to me afterwards, and he goes, I don't really know what's going on, and my mind is kind of racing. And he goes, and he looks at me, and he goes, but I trust her. And then he goes, I dialed down into my spirit, and my spirit said it was okay. And I went, okay, that's a great process.
Mm, yeah.
You know, so it's, I mean, no grit at all, you know. Mm. So it was, you know, trust and relational. So he knew me, right? Yeah. It's and I think that I'm not sure the what I'm questioning right now is, do I go and do that again, or do I keep it in a smaller group, which seems to be more relational than kind of do it like I did. So that's my question that I'm trying to wrestle with.
Again, I think it's like, okay, get a clear authorization from God to do what you need to do. And, you know, you can take first steps into it. Like, you know, take someone's previous experience of a scripture and then turn it into a transformational experience. And there are a few scriptures like that. You know, come boldly to the throne of grace.
Right.
Well, everyone will have read that. And everyone will have had their personal thing, well, I came and prayed. And God, I spoke to God, and I felt God either did or didn't answer or hear or didn't hear. And it's like, okay, well, let's take that another step now. Where is the throne of grace, do you suppose? Well, never really thought about it. Well, do you think it's on earth or do you think it's in heaven? Well, I guess it's in heaven. Okay, so you've been invited to come boldly to the throne of grace, which is in heaven. So do you think God would have invited you to come boldly, confidently, to that throne of grace if you couldn't go there and engage it? Rather than just pray and sort of think that, well, I'm just praying and I hope God hears my prayers. So
that's good.
Takes it to another step with a familiar scripture, and there are lots of scriptures like that that we can become personal with and take it to the next level with and make it actually, oh, he means me now? Yeah. So let's do that. Let's think, okay, let's think of a throne and let's step into the realm of heaven to engage that throne and who's on the throne, and let's experience getting grace and mercy for the needs that I have right now.
Right.
So I can enter into the rest of him picking me up, like putting me on his lap I'm feeling his heartbeat, and he is taking care of all the needs and the stuff that I've just brought to him. Great. Well, I'm sure people will have lots of different ways that they may experience that or how they feel, but it's another step. And it's sort of taking familiar sort of scriptures and opening up to another level with them. You know, and that can be even like, okay, let's think of the prodigal story. Yeah, have everyone ever felt that they've wasted something or messed up in their lives? Well, yeah, we've all done a bit. Okay, well, you know, how did you feel that God was going to receive you as a result of that? Well, people have all sorts of different experiences, whatever. Okay, well, let's just say the Father is here right now, and he's inviting us to step into him and let his arms come around us and let him put a robe of new clothes on us and a new ring. Well, I mean, let's actually give people actual personal experiences of those things which are real. You know, that's what God wants us to be able to do, to embrace him and embrace us. You know, Psalm 23. Okay, anyone ever read Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So let's just be obedient now and allow him to engage us in a green pasture, and he's going to be there as our shepherd, and he's going to talk to us, you know, and we're going to sit down with him, and he's going to sit with us, you know, and hey, there's this quiet water that's, what is that? What is that quiet water? Where's that from? This is the river of life. Hey, let's get in that water and see where it goes, you know, and
that was good. All that was very good. Yeah, I'm a reluctant teacher. I don't know. I've been reluctant in because I normally teach by modeling, and so this is.
But this is the
right.
This encountering God.
You know, right.
It's like I think it's getting people from. I know about God. And I know him in my head, and I have a whole load of information. I've read about him in the book. And yeah, I've had some sort of experiences, but actually, do I really know him? Well, let's get to know him, which must be by personal encounter. It cannot be by intellectual knowledge. So how are we going to know him if we don't meet him? How are we going to meet him if we don't find a way of actually engaging in an encounter with him? Whether it's a burning bush or whatever it might be, this is something out of our normal everyday thing to get us to follow a path which is going to lead us into this becoming our normal everyday thing. But sometimes we just need a kickstart to get us to the point where, hey, wow, you mean I can do this every day? You know, yeah, God is in you, and you have a capacity to engage him on the inside of you intimately every day. So where that green pasture was the garden of your heart. You know, and you don't even have to tell people where it is. You just have, hey, there's a green pasture. Here's the Bible. Come on, we're just using the Bible here. You know, how can you can't get me for using the Bible. And it does say that he was going to make you lie down in this green pasture, so let's engage it.
Right.
You know? And it's just opening up that to greater personal encounter with it. That people then can have the experiences and continue to pursue.
You know? Yeah, it seems to be activating my gift of activating people. You know, it's like I find myself activating the seer gifting in people a lot, and then they'll start seeing, and it's just really easy. So, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, I'm just going to turn the switch on, and that seems to be easy. I find that this what's happening now is since we're in this place of rest, and when I go to do things, it's so easy. I mean, I almost don't have to do anything. And so when I find something that makes me do something, I go, that's not right. So the level of discernment and clarity is getting, because there's lots of stuff going on. I mean, I could be like everywhere.
Yeah.
And so that's why I was starting people out on the mobile courts. It seems to bring a level of clarity to be able to see and have discernment. So I kind of have to back up now a little bit, especially with that group. And doing some of the stuff in the first module, you know?
Yeah.
What I think God is gracious in our walks is that I when I was going through that, I found that the Lord had led me already through all those steps, and I went, oh.
Yeah.
You know, along the way, me not even knowing that that's the path, you know? And so I...
Well, I didn't follow this as a pathway. There was a map.
Right.
I just sort of looked back and saw my journey, and then I think, oh, hey, you know, anyone can take this journey.
Right.
You know, so, yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It's really good tools, and I'm not quite sure how to back up, because the groups that I have criteria.
Mm.
You know, you have to have a grid and you have to have a hungry heart, because I don't want any argument and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So now the Lord is making me shift down and cut it up more, mm. And that's a little challenging for me.
Well, some of it.
I'm not quite sure why, but.
Yeah, but some of it can be thinking about, okay, if you want to help them and they're not at the stage of some of the other people, or people are coming out, yeah, they're hungry, but they're not really where the others are, you know, you can just start them from the beginning, you know.
Yeah.
But look, God will give people forerunner experiences and encounters, and that's sort of, some of those can be totally out of sequence, and it's like, hey, God can do anything he wants, that's fine. But, you know, get them involved with a beta group. And actually, you can plug
right.
some of those people in, and maybe you don't even want to mentor them, but you can still
right.
plug them into a beta group and someone else can mentor them, you know, because the material's there, you know, and they
right.
can work that through at their own pace. And that's the key in this. Some people will take a lot longer than others, and that's fine. And so doing it as an individual journey that you just support, rather than you try and bring
right.
them all at the same pace, can free you from, you just support. You don't have to teach them. You allow them to journey at their own pace. You just provide a little bit of support for them on the journey, or someone else can provide some support for them on the journey from those who want to take, because they have to see, okay, my destiny is involved in this. There's a, you know, this is not just a fun exercise. You know, I have a destiny in God that I need to see that I'm part of something bigger here. This is going on. So, in a sense, you know, feel free to you know, do that. I mean, we're going to sort of open up the whole process for recruiting people and people who want to embrace this, the next stage of this. And, you know, there's loads of, you know, opportunity for people to do that and use the material without you having to teach them it.
Right.
Because they
yeah,
can
thank you.
Well, because they can get some support from others, you know.
Right.
Not some people will want to mentor people that haven't got anyone to mentor. Well, hey, I'm going to point them to people who want to be mentored, you know. And, okay, it is relational, and in a sense we want it to be a relational connection, but, you know, sometimes it's not going to be all people from the same area. It may be, you know, wider
right.
field that you can still connect with a little bit, which is sort of the lie-busting type connection with different people. But it makes sense to have them in a sort of geographical area if you can, or certainly in a time zone area. But, you know, there are ways of doing things. People asked me a lot of questions about this yesterday, actually, and it was like, well, how do I do it? Do I get them to start? I want to do this as a group. Do I get them to start here? So, well, you get them to follow the process, and you just begin to start where you want to start with them, but just get them to follow the process in their own outworking of their own life. But you can start with, you know, the exercises within the first module rather than all the teaching that goes with it. You don't have to teach that. They can listen to it.
Right.
Give them a background to get a grid for where we're going and why we're going this way. You know, so, and, you know, so you can do that. I mean, there's no sort of rigid way. So long as people have the material and they're willing to follow the process,
right?
There's lots of ways that could be done, you know, and that could be just providing, hey, I'm going to hang out with you every few weeks, and, you know, whether that's a physical hangout or we'll do it online, so that if there's anything that you're stuck with or any questions you want to ask, then, you know, I just want to be here to support. You know, but you're not going to teach them, you know,
right.
you're going to help them. And you will have your own testimonies. This is the key. Anyone who's going to mentor, it's like, oh yeah, this was my journey. So you don't have to use my stories, you use your own. You know?
Right. Yeah. So, that's the way my groups have, that's the way the morning group started, is that I had posted something and they're all like, well, this lady saw that I was in the area and she'd been looking for a house of prayer, so it all kind of lined up for her. And I was actually in my cave trying to process all this stuff because it had just fried my brain. And she came in and dragged me out, right? And she goes, we have a couple questions. And I'm like, okay, ask away. And the Lord had just separated me from a whole bunch of stuff. And I was actually grieving and in mourning and transition. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. And so the group started with about 8 ladies, and they just came and asked questions.
Yeah.
And so I could answer out of what happened, you know, my experience. And that's how it was. And so that's the expectation of all my groups now, is that I'm not, you know, you have to be intrinsically motivated. And then now what's happening in the group is that everyone's starting to grow up. So some people have experiences I don't have, so they're teaching the group. So it's kind of cool what's happening. And so, yeah, I like it like that. It's easy. I don't have to prepare. You know, it's like, yeah, it's just this beautiful community thing that's starting to happen. And it's an easy route. But these people already have a grid, so they already were already in it and already running and wanting more.
Yeah.
So,
some others, obviously, where you're introducing them to some things where it's like, okay, what's the next step? And, you know.
And you can see it. You can see it in their eyes because they're all of a sudden, their eyes get really huge.
They're caught in the headlights.
Like, wow, this is unreal. What is this? You know.
Yeah. That might be useful for them to point them to, hey, there's a process you can follow here. I can give you a little bit of support, but you can follow this. And, right, you know, and therefore all the material's already there for them. You don't have to come up with, you know, so you can focus with the groups you've got, but you can encourage others to take, you know, to follow the journey through themselves and at their own pace, you know. There may be a thing there that for those who really come out of that, who haven't got that much of a grid or just like, wow, I want to know more about this, then, you know, if I can help that with sort of them, you know, becoming part of the beta group or something, then great, that'd be good.
You know, because there's people in my group, in my morning group, that are asking, should I do this? Should I steer them that way? Because a lot of the stuff, they've, like the first whole module, they already are, they're already there.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who has already been activated and having activations,
can they have activations without you? That would be the one question. So that they need to, so you can see, well, where are they? Is this just something that, because of my gift to open up heaven? Because I ask that all the time. You know, it's like, online, and it's like, okay, are people doing this and having these in their own personal time with God rather than just when I open up a portal on a Hangout? You know, and I want people to be able to do this as taking their governmental place out of the relationship. And I think it's like, would they be comfortable in mentoring others from the beginning who have no grid? Because if they couldn't do that, then they need to be able to go through the process themselves. So it's like, you know, are they part of a Joshua generation? Do they see themselves as mentoring the generation that's coming, and therefore they need to be equipped? Because if that's where they are, then learning to be able to do that would be helpful for them. You know, if they don't feel any call to that, and it's just, well, actually, you know, I'm just experiencing stuff myself at the moment, that's great. You know, but if they do feel, actually, what's the point? Where's this leading? Where's this going?
Right.
What's God doing in this? Is there a bigger purpose? Am I part of that? If I am, what is it? And that would be helpful then. And people can, you know, for me, it's like the first module is background information on destiny, you know, inheritance, the Joshua generation. You know, the keys are, people can listen to that, you know, over a period of time, if they're hungry. the six sessions really on this is the stuff you're going to need to know for this journey. Like, there's an angelic realm, you know, we have to be able to engage in these things. It's like some of that basic stuff, which begins to introduce some exercises, is really the place where, you know, people can get a hold of it. And then the second module really is just practice.
Right. Which,
if they can do some of those things already, hey, I can have a conversation with God. Well, great. Listen to the session to get a framework that if you then someone else asks you the questions, you can give them an answer with your own testimonies. That's you know, because ultimately you're going to want to mentor other people because you want to give away what you've received.
Right.
And so, you know, it's flexible in how people can do it. The key is at the end of that process, they need to be able to be able to engage in personal encounter with God, hearing his voice, meeting him on the inside, and having access to meet him in the realms of heaven when they want to, when they need to, every day,
right.
Not just in a group or in a great worship time or when I'm in a trance or when something like that's happened, but no, I need to be able to step in. Why? Because I'm building my intimacy with God to know who I am that enables me then to manifest that through me. Because in a sense, the whole purpose is we have a life that needs to flow out of us, around us, so that
right.
we bring the government of God around our lives every day. And that we do that because we're also enthroned in heaven, that is connected and flowing through us as a gateway of heaven. You know? So it is a sort of process that builds, and I wouldn't want people to get into the administrative kingdom stuff before they've got the relational grid.
Right, right.
You know, if they can't, you know, really, because it can become something that people do to get their identity, rather than people do because they have their identity. And it doesn't
right.
sound much difference in that, but there's a huge difference. And people have to be able to access the source of life, river of life, tree of life, throne of grace, garden of God in Eden as the actual source for everything else that comes.
Right.
If you can't engage that, you're going to get weary and heavy laden no matter what you do because you've not got the source of life flowing in you. And, you know, sometimes you just need to go and eat the fruit of the tree of life and get fresh revelation and insight. Sometimes you need to go and get a new scroll. That's going to give you that that you need at this point in time. You need to be able to know how to engage
right.
the throne of grace because you're going to get plenty of needs, you know, and plenty of situations where you need help.
Right.
If you don't know where to go to get the source of help, then it'll be like everyone's going to be knocking on your door. Help, help. Well, what do I do with this? What do I do with that? Well, actually, you could have learned all that. Go to the throne of grace. Sit on the Father's lap and let him beat with the rhythm of his heart and receive the revelation there that you need, you know. And, you know, and that's, you know, sort of, and all that is relationally connecting with the source of heaven and being a gateway of heaven. And obviously what we don't want is a whole load of personal experiences and encounters and nothing flowing around us creating the government of God around us. You know,
right.
we rule and we need to create the atmosphere around our lives. And to do that, we need to have everything flowing from the inside out. So if people still have got blockages, and the process that is going is going to help them remove those blockages and get flowing better and understand and engage in themselves. You know, who am I?
Right.
You know,
right.
what do you mean a garden of my heart? You know, well, you know, people may have had many experiences, but do they go there? Do they cultivate it? Are they tending
right.
it? If they're not, then actually it isn't really going to manifest around them. They may have some heavenly encounters, but actually it's got to be earthed out as well as
right.
on earth as it is in heaven. So I am a gateway of heaven. Only if that gate is open and if it's flowing. You know, otherwise I'm going to be a stagnant pool.
Right. I started introducing that a month or two ago with just my morning group and having them think about, you know, not just this group, but going out and discipling others and, You know, so now they're going out, and a couple of them went to the Randy Clark Bethel thing, and you know, they were like, oh, I was using what we were learning, and so just even wrapping their heads around that, wow, I could actually do what you're doing in this group. So it was it's like a little, you can kind of see the journey and the process, which is good. I had something weird I wanted to ask you. I had something weird happen with a friend who, I found that, you know, all the old intercessors, because I went through this process of, oh, I think I already know this. This sounds familiar. And, yeah, you know, what's the point, right? So yeah. So you have this little weird wrestle with the Lord and your stubbornness of, I already know that. Why do I need to? Anyway, so this one I had done with a group that didn't have a grid. And this one girl was kind of teaching this other girl who doesn't have a grid for stepping in, but she's a worship leader and she has an intimacy. A lot of worship leaders already know where the throne is, right? Because you just know that because that's where you go if you're, yeah, worship, you know. And so, so she gave her this protocol and she activated something. I don't know what she did, but she activated something and she was explaining it to me. And she said, I went into the courtroom, and there was a girl in chains, and I went over, and Jesus went over and did something, and there was blood, and I'm like, wow, I don't even know. So I was like, it kind of sobered me up there for a minute. I go, wow, okay, first of all, you need to go anoint your house. You know, I was like, I don't know what you activated, but have you had those experiences where I wasn't quite sure what to do with that, because I didn't know where is there something where we can activate not having, you know, gone in our heavenly place or something.
Because God is wanting to open these realms up for people, so He'll use everything He can to engage people. There is something new, and to pursue it. Does that mean that all those encounters are necessarily exactly as we would see it? Or yes. Probably not. But people are operating. God will use a donkey, so He'll use someone who's willing. You know, and if someone's willing to say, "Hey, you can engage in heaven," then God will take that and help people to engage in heaven. They may just not have the wisdom of the full picture or the full understanding of what it is or what the whole thing fits into, but they know there's something that there's drawing them, the sound of heaven, you know, the frequency that's coming, that's calling people to come home, you know, to come back to their rightful place. Then, all sorts of things will be stepping stones to that. You know, what we want is to be able to help people to get the full picture of what it is, and therefore to embrace the full fitness of it rather than just a little bit. Because, you know, in a sense, you know, someone said, there's a phrase, you know, a little bit of knowledge can be dangerous.
Right.
Because what you want then is then for people to pursue, what does this really mean, and why can I do this, and what am I called to do in this, rather than, hey, there's an encounter, and then, well, I'm going to use this, and this would be my format.
Right.
Because, what was that experience? You know, who was the person in chains? Was it the person, a representation of the person that was there? Was this someone that they knew? Am I learning to intercede here and God has shown me that the enemy has chains on somebody? Therefore, what do I do with those chains? Well, okay, I'm going to apply the blood of Jesus. Well, that's okay. I mean, that's like, okay, that's pretty reasonable thing. We can apply the blood of Jesus. But actually, in reality, we know that there are legal rights that the enemy has and possesses, and if you don't deal with the rights, then judicially you may do something which opens someone up, but if they go back under what they were under before, then it ends up worse, you know, for them.
Right.
So we need to help people to be free, and that means, okay, you have to give them the authorization and the authority to walk free from whatever they've been set free from. And that works as a judicial process. And I actually believe the whole thing of lie busting and that stuff, there is a bit missing there, which is that judicial process. So when I would encourage, and we do here, we're pretty eclectic, so we use the court process as part of that. So when there's a you know, a critter scan type thing, it's like you ask, you know, well, what right have you got to be there? But what it right. doesn't do, after you deal with it, you don't get the ongoing, and now I have the court order, verdict, papers that gives me authority to right. continue to exercise this against this when it might be on the outside of me. Because just because it's getting cast out doesn't mean that it doesn't stay around. Right. And if it can fool people into thinking, wow, oh, that thought came back again. Yeah. But now you have authority to take it captive and to deal with it. And if it keeps coming back, then you can take it back because there is now contempt of court. Because this has broken the judge's order, and now it's going to receive even more punishment or more
okay. right.
judgment. And actually, you know, the highest judgment, they can be chained. You know, that's why the demons in Legion said, don't send us there. You know, we don't want to go there. You know, send us into the pigs anywhere else but there. So actually, you know, if you break a court order in legal terms, you can be in contempt of court and you can be incarcerated because you've broken the judge's order. But it doesn't mean you don't have to take them back to court, because you do. If you just say, oh, well, they didn't obey the court order, they keep hassling me. Oh.
Okay, that's it. Yeah, okay. Right.
No, I'm going to call the police. I'm going to take them. They're going to have to come and face the judge. You broke my order. Now there's more severe judgment coming. They don't like that. You know, because just because, you know, and I think this is what I found in some of the live busting things. Sometimes it's bang, it's done. And sometimes actually, you know, oh, I had this revelation. I went through this process, but then I kept getting these thoughts. Okay, well, then that you have to deal with them from authority. And I don't think that sometimes that comes through in the way it does when you add a court case into it.
Oh, yeah, like, it's final. It's amazing. I have so many amazing testimonies just from other people now. Yeah. Just crazy, crazy things happening like within, you know, hours, yeah. like that right then. It, you know, it's crazy.
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, people will have different experiences. It's to encourage them to get on the journey.
Right.
And not to chase more experiences, but to
right.
look for a relationship that will then lead them into their responsibility position of government and as a son of God. And, you know, if God can get them on this journey, then, hey, that's so much that they'll be able to engage in and learn. And then to discover who they really are and discover their full inheritance and their position as a son of God and all that means. But you don't get that in day one, you know.
Right.
Even when you do have an encounter on a mountain and stuff, it's like, well, what am I supposed to do with it? What do I do now? And what does this mean? Or what am I supposed to do on this mountain? And, you know, am I supposed to say something? Oh, what are all these angels? You know, what am I supposed to do with them? I mean, it just more and more questions open up as a result of people encountering something that will help them, you know, engage the journey. And it's like, okay, if we can help them with a systematic approach of like, you can start here, you've had this encounter, but actually this is why, and this is what this is about, and this is where it's going to lead you, then it's okay to take people back to the beginning because they don't really know what the beginning was. They just had some experiences, and you may have opened up those experiences for them, but actually, where is this in the actual whole picture of God's purposes right now in this? He has a purpose in this. We need to make sure we get hold of that purpose.
Right.
Otherwise, people will just start chasing experiences, and then they will get in danger because those experiences will be out right. of context.
Right.
You know, and you know, it does happen, you know, and I think there's some of right. the things that I've seen or heard of doesn't seem to be bringing people into responsibility.
Right.
And ultimately, you know, and also it's not either focusing on relationship either. It's more about, well, we're going to this room and there's this. And, oh, wow. And wow. And what did you see? Oh, yeah, we're seeing that now and we're seeing this. And, you know, I'm not – obviously I do lots of activations – but I don't want to use guided imagery to get everyone to see the same thing. It's just a doorway for people's personal encounter and experience and to go into that. And the purpose of it is to bring us into deeper intimacy relationship and into the responsibility of who we are as sons. It's not just a fun thing, although it is fun. You know, I'm not saying that it's not fun, but, you know, some right. things aren't fun. Some things are really serious.
I'm always looking for the outworking in the natural. You know, what is my intimacy doing in my city or in my family or in my life? And, you know, because, I mean, it's great to do all that, but I want to see it actually affect on Earth. You know, I'm driving by dead squirrels and looking back, you know, did they get up? You know, one day they will, right? You know, so, I'm always looking for the practical and how it's affecting my city. And I did have a VHOP. It's the House of Prayer is starting to awaken, and I'm just sitting back watching the Lord just, because I'm reluctantly the director. and I just am watching it. I have a group of six intercessors now, and the significant part of it is one of them is a Native American, and she's our first tither. So I find that really significant. I'm not sure why, but I think it's significant in this area. And so we had our first meeting, and it was crazy wild. We ended up being two benches of three. So I kind of said, wow, this is really weird with the numbers. So we stepped into our office, and you know, you just felt it. And then all of a sudden I said, oh my God, the 70 are here. I didn't know I said that. I said, I said the council of 70 are here. And we went on and we went and did and dealt with land, and her house is up on the hill where all the weird stuff happened. You know, all this really coincidental stuff that just, and then we went into this encounter for, you know, we came out, we just floored, and they're like, well, and somebody said, well, who was those 70? And I'm like, what do you mean 70? And she goes, you said the 70 showed up. And I'm like, I did? And she goes, I said, I did? And she goes, who are they? So I was looking on my little paper, and I'm like, I think I've been in the balcony in the back room, but I don't know who they are. And I was looking, and it said, for the First Nations, and the nations, and I went, and then my Native American, she just started going crazy, and for the first day, you know, and everyone went crazy, and so, and I know you were saying that it's to present a case, and we had actually gone in and presented a case.
Yeah.
And we didn't know that.
No, that's great, but you're being led. You're just being led by the Spirit, and your Spirit is leading you in it, and that's fine. You know, and that I learned most of my stuff like that. I don't know what I'm doing until I start doing it, and then I learn what it is. Oh, okay, sometimes wisdom will show me some things, but I still do it while she's showing me. It's like, most of the things, I've not watched other people do it or other things. I've done it. So, okay, now you're going to be in the Court of Kings, and you're here before this bench, and you're sat down. Oh, I'm normally on the side presenting something. I'm sat down. Hey, there's a scroll in front of me. There's nothing on it. My Spirit engages the scroll, and now writing starts to appear on. I didn't even say the words. They just started to appear out of my Spirit on the scroll. Now it's like, what do I do with that? Okay, I've got this scroll. So it's like, okay, now come here. I'm going to show you. You need to go and present this scroll. Then you get it. Going to get it authorized, and you're going to do this. So it's like I just did it. I didn't know what I was doing. I just followed along and let my Spirit with wisdom just guide me. You know, I didn't, you know, so if she sat down and said, I want you to think about what you want to legislate, I would have been like, no idea, I don't know. It's like, but it was just there, and it just happened. You know, it's just like, it came out of my Spirit, and there it was on the scroll. And as soon as I read it, it was just like, yeah. And it's like, yeah, I totally resonate with what's just appeared on that scroll, because it came out of my Spirit. Of course I'm going to. But it wasn't like, oh, I don't understand any of this. It was just like, yeah. And now I need to get this. What do I do now? How do I legislate this? And there was a whole process to go through, and then there was a process of earthing it. In that we brought it before our bench. We then went before our 12. We stepped in with it. You know, we engaged it. You know, we'd started making the decrees that were on that thing. And then we started to see changes take place as a result of that. And, you know, now we have testimonies of the things on that scroll have been fulfilled, you know, because it's now legislated. It is in legislature. It is part of the law for our sphere of government. You know, and actually I did release it to several other places as well a couple of times, because I felt, no, actually this is something which is really important.
Right. I actually went outside after we did that. I went out the door, you know, and I'm like, okay, does the world look different? I mean, I just felt like we had, I'm like, you know, I was driving through the city going, can I see it? You know, I mean, it's, you know, when is it gonna appear, you know? Because I felt the significance of it, and also the significance in I'm on a governmental site for something on the internet, the MDM site, and she was talking about how she was going to set it up like a bench of three, and then a bench of seven, and then two businesses or something that come in. And is that how you do it? Is that?
It depends what your blueprint says. If that's what your blueprint says, yeah.
I guess that's the next thing to do is go in and get the blueprint for that. And
get a blueprint. Okay. Then the government forms around that blueprint, and then you. I mean, sometimes it's like, well, you've already got the blueprint because you're already doing. Sometimes you just formalize it to, oh, this is what it looks like, you know, because you're doing it, you know, because it's released as.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, forming a bench seven, you know, for us we have four different organizations, if you like, that we've set up, charities or businesses that have come out of our blueprint, and they we administer them. They're, we call them our Shalom ministries, you know, and they're expanding into different areas according to our seven spheres, you know, of government. You know, and our wider mandate to equip people. So, yeah, I mean, that's okay. Really how it works, you know. And then you begin to legislate out of that. You know, you begin to operate governmentally in terms of the spheres that you have authority over.
You were talking about, you said something before, and I kind of went, what? ordinances and...
Oh, right, yeah.
passing law or something like that. And so is that like, I believe that's where we're supposed to go, and I believe that we're the, you know, the Lord said we're to legislate government, and, you know, what does that mean? And so as we slowly learn, so that kind of has caught my eye.
Yeah.
Because I feel when you change the law and you change the ordinances, everything starts to outwork.
Yeah. I mean, literally what it is, it's like, how we begin to establish government is it's based on the precepts of God. You know, that's the first point. And this is what I'm doing in exploring some of these chancellor's houses. It's like the precepts of God are the very foundational characteristics of who God is in eternity. And they're not just ideas. They're the nature of God and how he does stuff. You know, it's like, you know, it's really intrinsically who he is as love and everything and how that gets at work. That then leads you to statutes. So the precepts produce statutes, which are these sort of, they're not statutes. I mean, this is where I sort of find it difficult to describe it, because I've been in there and I've seen some things and I'm working it out right now. But literally, it puts the precepts into a framework of principles, if you like, of it's like when I went in there, they were full of eyes, you know, and it was like there was an eye for this and an eye for that and an eye for this and an eye for that, and it was just like, what am I looking? And it's like, then all of a sudden it was like I looked and I saw what I didn't see before, and it's because it was like an eye for symmetry, an eye for detail, an eye for order, an eye for this, and it's just like all of a sudden it was these things that were then going to be. I'm now, from those precepts, I can see things. I couldn't see them before without the precepts. And it's like, we used to have some books. I don't know if you had it in the States, but they were books of, like, colored patterns. Mm-hmm. And when you looked into them, you couldn't see anything. But when if you sort of looked and tried to get your one eye sort of off focus, all of a sudden a whole picture came out of this colored pattern.
Right.
And I learned how to do it. I mean, I could do it. Some other people were like, I can't see anything. I can't see anything. And I'm like, well, just do this. And like, just sort of like trying to get. And it's like once you get those precepts, you can see things. You can see this sacred geometry. You can see the spheres in things. You can see a symmetry and things which you couldn't see before. And that gives you the statutes that begin to form the laws. Okay. And the laws really are about how then this comes together as the blueprints of God for God's purposes to become into effect. And once you have those three things functioning, and it's like they're on the circle of the deep. They are the constellations of the stars that are in, but they're not in one dimension. These things operate dimensionally. So it's really hard to describe it, I find it hard. But I know
I'm getting a lot of visual as you're talking.
Yeah.
So.
But I know that these three things like rise and come into alignment, and then that opens the fourth from the next group of three to bring something solid, and that's the ordinances. And the ordinances are like the troop movements, the stuff of heaven, the angelic armies, the things, and it's all these ordinances which are in alignment with the blueprints that then you start to shift things, and you have the resources of certain things to be able then to begin alignments, and then you start to see these governmental alignments take place when things are coming together in connection, and then it's like, oh, I can see a grid, I can see this. I couldn't see this before because you're sort of building upon those things, and then that leads you then into a whole area of release of things, because there's mantles and there's weapons and there's scrolls and there are different things within houses that we then get access to, but you can't do it without the initial precepts, and eventually these will lead to the 12 laws that come out of Zion. These are how heaven functions governmentally, built upon the revelation that's come out of here. And I'm still processing it. God told me, I've been in four or five of these places before, saw some really cool stuff, and it was just like, wow, but I didn't, I've seen this, but what does that mean? How does that work? Then God said, no, you need to go back from the beginning, go sequentially through each of the houses, and then you'll start to see how these constellations, if you like, because it's like this, these sort of Jewish Maseroth thing of like the constellations of the heavens, but it's not like stars as we know it. It's different than that. It's dimensional governmental spheres aligning themselves. As one rises into that position here, then that is like sort of almost like dimensional cogs that begin to turn and in wheels that then connect this, and then this opens up, but dimensionally rather than, and this is where the Metatron's cube and all that stuff comes in, because that's some of what it looks like in a dimensional form. But it's just
that's as you were talking, my spirit is so alive. Oh, Metatron's one of my angels. He's like gave me a key in the quiche in France. I mean, he's just amazing. I know he is now,
That's why you can unlock people's activations, because you have that key.
Oh, okay.
Metatron gave me a key.
Yeah, so I love him, man. He's like, go open that door. And when you were talking, my spirit actually got eyes.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I saw my. I was like, "Whoa, that was weird." And I don't know what I my desire is, because when you were talking, I know that I so resonated with that. I mean, it just, I'm like, okay, I need to do that. So how do I do that?
No idea. I mean, my encounters in there have been so overwhelmingly difficult to describe. I'm now pulling together a file for my journals that have got these encounters and the things that God said. The first encounter was like this place that had the windows of heaven opened into eternity, and I'm like, And so I start journaling stuff and writing stuff down, and I read it back, and I'm like, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? So now, but God
so do
wants
I
me
just desire to go there? Do I say, because I've actually been, I've encountered the black cloud, and I actually go in the black cloud and lie in it now. And so do I just out of the desire go, I want to know about this, and then have wisdom take me?
Because
she's wisdom. My knower. Yeah, she's yeah.
Wisdom
I'm
has
intimate
taken
with her.
Me to all these places. Yeah. Initially, okay. My first encounter was here is 12 big doors.
Okay.
And then the name of this door, or the name of the house that this represents, is on the door, and there's this angel standing there, and here's his name, or here's her name. I was just like, well, here are their names, and it's just like, okay. So I see all these doors, and they're different, and there's stuff on them, but I get the name and I get the angel, and I'm like, okay. So, but I know this is all tied to the Chancellor's seal, and you know, sort of that these are High Chancellor's houses. But I mean, some of it was, you know, this description of the circle of the deep, and I'm like, what is that? You know, what are you saying? And I've been in here and I was this and this, and it's like, okay, you know, because it was like there, I had this list of 12, I had these 12 names, so I was like, well, what do I do with them? So I went to Wisdom and she said, they're formed like this. So there were four groups of three. Oh, great. Okay, that's great. So I now know there's four groups of three. And then she said, and there's three groups of four. okay. So then I set my desire onto it, and then that's when God said, right, you know, I've shown you the affairs of the nations room, you've been in the scroll room, you've been in the mantle room, you know, now you've been in the weapons room, now it's time to see what the foundational houses are that will allow all those things to begin to function and come into alignment in the heavens, because this is this heavenly alignment of these things that is going to release the resources of those out. So I'm like, okay. So my first encounter was so overwhelming. It was just like, if that's what they're going to be like, this is going to be a long process. You know? But fortunately, the second thing was not quite as overwhelming, but it was just these eyes, you know. But because I'd had the first encounter, these eyes made sense. Because it was like, these are eyes of, you know, an eye for. And I was like, wow. You know, then it came to me, that story of the picture book with these, like, hidden pictures. And I'm like, I can see something that I've not seen before, and this makes sense out of what looks like chaos. Because those books are just, like, whole colored patterns.
Oh, yeah, they're awesome. Yeah.
And it's just like, but then when you can see, you can see. And all of a sudden it just leaps out at you. And what? How couldn't I see that before? But now, because I've been into the precepts of place where now these eyes make sense, you know, and I can see. I couldn't see before, you know. So, and I know that now that will enable me to understand how to see the perspectives of the government in the blueprints and the other things in the law room. Because I had an expectation of like, well, I'm going in the law room, there's going to be a whole lot of laws. Well, there weren't any laws. Not of what I was thinking that there were going to be laws, but there were a whole load of blueprints and grids and connections that were going to be made in the kingdom, and they were all beginning to. And I'm like, wow, yeah, I've seen that, because I, you know, I had this picture I've shared a few times with this North American continent and the North East and Northwest and these stuff, and I see this, and they had this grid that appeared, and I had to fire arrows and all this stuff. And I'm like, now this makes sense. Now I can see where all the parallels and where all the longitudes and latitudes and where the cross connections are going to take place. You know, so I'm sort of, you know, I'm getting there, but it's a bit of a process. I mean, that's the picture of it. You know, the thing over the whole North American continent, and you know, there's arrows fired from one to another, making connections between the Northwest and the Northeast, and then the North.
Interesting, because I grew up in Florida.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And if you actually look into that and look down from it, it's a pyramid, basically.
Right.
And I know that God is going to establish a bench of three with an angel of the house that comes from one person from each of these areas in the center to govern this whole thing. And there will also be, these are sectors, there is a triangle here of government in this area, and in then this area, mm-hmm. and this area, you know, over there, and there, and there, and there. And so these connections will need to be made, and then these, and then there will be government formed here in this area. And this is what I saw in this room, basically. I saw the preparation for some of these things going to take place. Because I could see, I couldn't see it before. You know, but now I could see. So it was like, okay, now I'm getting a picture of where this is going. But it was cool. You know, it's sort of, you know, but you know, I don't have to rush. You know, I'm on a journey with it, and I will begin to understand more of it, and then I'll get to a point at some stage where I can cognitively be able to explain it in a way that some people will understand, rather than sort of waffling around, sort of like inexpressible things, because they are some of the slightly inexpressible, but I get my spirit's got something, which then makes the next stage from a position of my spirit has received the revelation, which is where this key then interlocks with this sort of constellation or you know, house. The rising of this house connects with this one, and then this one, dimensionally, then all of a sudden, hey, there's a fourth that opens up. So, you know, all these things are, you know, I have no idea how I'm going to diagrammatically draw that, because it sounds really complicated. And it probably is, but, you know, anyway, there we go.
Well, I have these two eyes, and they're, like, looking out, but they got it. I don't know.
Awesome. All right, excellent. Okay. Well, it's nice to see Cindy. Even though we haven't heard anything from you, it's been great to see you here anyway. So, okay. Well, yeah.